many men. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. I don't know about you, church, but I never cease to be amazed at Calvary's story, the cross of Jesus Christ. When we come around this communion table every Sunday morning, this isn't just some kind of religious thing we do. It makes Calvary, it makes our lives so real to us, the power of the cross. And church, we need to be reminded of that in this day and age. Because what I want to preach this morning is about the Holy Spirit. And yes, we can get absolutely sucked dry when we don't come like this to a place of worship and be reminded, this do in remembrance of me. Tell me the story once again of Jesus and of Calvary's Hill. Do you believe that this morning? That we really need to get into that place in this day and age. The title of my message today is Do Not Quench the Spirit. And this church fellowship has such a sense of the presence of God. We don't just have special services and special events where we feel the presence of God and then it goes away again. Every single time that we meet in this place, whether it's in his tabernacle, in the prayer room, even in the hall, right back there for a wow experience with the woman, there is a sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Even visitors would remark to me as they go out the door, I would say on a weekly basis, they'll say, wow, that was powerful. There's something about, and some say, the energy. Some of them say it's the exuberance. Others say there's an atmosphere, Pastor Yvonne. They can hardly define what they're trying to say. But what is it? It is the Spirit of God. And we need it. We need it in everything we do. It covers our praise and worship, like when the praise team got up this morning. You can sense it as the musicians start to play, as the singers start to worship. There's something about the presence of the Holy Spirit. It comes down in all its power. And it saturates worship. It saturates our prayers. It saturates the preaching of his word. Because this isn't about Pastor Yvonne. This is about God and his presence alone. And I've come with a message this morning from God. And it's not just for the people. You and you and you. It's for me as well. Because I don't just preach that way, I preach this way. I preach to myself. And God is saying to each one of us, do not quench my Holy Spirit. Don't quench it. Because, church, it's our power. It's vital to every single thing that we are going to do for his glory in this house. It's the glue that puts everything together. Whether it's fellowship, ministry, building, walking in the vision, everything we do, even the big tent, every team in this church fellowship, it is the glue that is poured through every single vessel and person. So that we do something so precious for God. But if we get rid of it, if we quench it, if we destroy the presence of God, what are we left with? We're left with rubbish, dross, just you and me, trying to sing a song, trying to say a wee prayer. Open the Bible, give a wee word for 15 minutes. It's nothing. It's just fleshly, carnal rubbish, clashing cymbals. Because the Bible tells us, apart from God, we can do nothing. We need a church. But let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. I love this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll begin at verse 11. Because every time I read this portion of scripture, it tugs at my heart. It stirs my spirit. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue that which is good for both yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who calls you, hallelujah, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Powerful stuff, church. And it's wonderful when God's people are filled to overflowing with his Holy Spirit, with the Pentecostal fire, with his presence, enabling us to live our lives for his glory, work for him, live for him. But church, there are so many things in our lives, so many situations and circumstances, and sadly, so many people that will try to suck the very life force, the Holy Spirit, his presence, out of you and me. And when that happens, it leaves us dry and brittle and cold and empty. No warmth, just going through the religious motion, but getting nothing and giving nothing. And we need to be so vigilant in our walk with God. Because this force, this spirit that is not of God, that can suck the presence of God out of each one of us, it's very subtle. And it's also very destructive. And we need to guard against it. Look, I have watched people who have started off totally filled to overflowing with Holy Ghost fire. I'm talking a rich anointing. They carry the presence of God in their wee vessels. They were faithful. They were committed. They couldn't do enough for the Lord. When those doors opened, they were there. You looked at them worshiping, and they worshiped in the beauty of holiness. It was lovely just to watch them. But bit by bit, they began to grow cold. They began to let their little vessels empty, just seep away. And bit by bit, they got to a place. And if you asked them, they wouldn't even know how they got there. They just got sucked dry. And all that was left, church, was this person, this vessel, dry and brittle and empty and cold in God.
And they don't even know how bad the state they're in. And that's why it's so subtle. And that's why we've got to be so vigilant. And God is warning us. It's not just a wee message of encouragement and inspiration this morning. It's a message that warns us, do not quench the spirit that I have placed within each one of you. Lose it at your peril. The Amplified reads, don't suppress it. Don't subdue it. In other words, don't dull it down. That Holy Ghost fire within us burning brightly, don't ever let that go in to a wee tiny smoldering flame, because eventually, church, I've seen it, that'll go into dead ash. And nothing is going to resurrect that, only repentance. Don't let it go there. You see, that Greek word for quench, it literally means to extinguish, like a flame, to snuff it out. It's like those little jars, those candles, when you put the lid on it, it just extinguishes it. No oxygen. In the spiritual realm, it's no different. We have a fire. We have a flame burning on the inside of us that is the very presence of God. And for goodness sake, don't you let anyone or anything ever extinguish that in your life. You've got to keep that flame fed. Stoke it. Feed it. Don't let anyone ever come near it. That is holy ground in your life and in mine. But how do we do that, church? How do we guard the presence of God that dwells within us? I believe 1 Thessalonians 5 is our God-given formula to keep us alive and flourishing spiritually. Verse 11, comfort and edify one another. You know, it's vital in this church fellowship that we do that. We encourage one another to do that, to comfort and edify. I see that every day. I see that every week. I go into homes and people come with tears in their eyes. Look at that text, Pastor Yvonne. So-and-so sent me that this morning. And they don't know what I'm going through in my family. You do, but they don't. And look at that. Isn't that a word from God? I needed that today. And that's the Holy Spirit, his presence in that vessel over here, texting someone to comfort them and love them through everything. Phone calls, letters. Those times when you don't know what to do and you think, I'll just buy a wee bunch of flowers. You're loving, you're comforting those people when you do that. You've all been on the receiving end of that. It's beautiful. It feeds something of the presence of God in all of us. Oh, but I'm no good at ministry, Pastor Yvonne. You are. I know you are. Because I hear things. That wee tin of buns you sent to that family. You loved, you encouraged, you soothed and comforted. That bowl of stew. You have no idea, that wasn't just food you sent to that home. You did something into the heart of that family at their worst moment. The hand on the shoulder where there's no words left to say. And it speaks volumes when you're filled with the presence of God. That wee 10-minute cup of coffee where you can just speak a word of love into that aching, breaking heart. In this church, we have always taught that we walk the journey together. And I can't take away your pain and the things that life has thrown at you. And really, you can't take away my pain and all that I'm going through. We have seasons in life where it's just hard. But we walk the journey together. and we love each other, and we comfort one another. And I pour into you the presence of God, and you pour into me the presence of God, and we take that into unsaved loved ones and the workplace, and we flow with His Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible says we're to bear one another's burdens. We can't take it away, but we bear it together. And that feeds the flame in all of us. But spirit quenchers are selfish. Why would I buy a card for him? Oh, that costs money to go and make food and give that to somebody else. I'm on a tight budget. Small, mean-hearted people who stay in their own tiny, wee circle. They don't compliment. They don't edify and build someone up in their most holy faith. In fact, they're critical. They're negative. They're scared. You see, to edify simply means to compliment. To go to someone and say, "You did well. I was watching you. That isn't easy to do, but you blessed me." That's a compliment. That edifies someone's spirit. But there are people, spirit quenchers, who cannot do that. Do you know what their attitude is? I'm not telling him he did well. Give him a big heed. You know, as he did that, dear. I know, for I have heard them. And they quench the spirit, not only in themselves, but they talk and they quench it in other people. And they're prideful. If they were really honest, they're prideful and they're envious. They want to pull down everything that is spiritually beautiful. And do you know why they do that, church? Because they actually really don't know who they are in Christ. Do you see, if they knew that they were a child of the Most High God, a son or a daughter of the King, they would have a liberty and a freedom to go to others and comfort and soothe and give and compliment and edify. But they don't have it. And so they quench the spirit in themselves. And it's sad. Another spirit quencher, verse 12. There are people who have an attitude that simply says, "Well, who do you think you are? Who put you over the head?" They can't stand leadership, and they hate authority of any kind. Let me tell you something this morning, church. See, this church assembly, this isn't all the pastor's doing. We have got to have pastors, elders, deacons, lay leaders, captains, superintendent, teachers. We have to have all of that godly authority set in place, or this place would grind to a halt. It would be one big mess. But they can't stand it. It's like, "Well, nobody's going to tell me what to do." And maybe they've had really bad experiences in life. Maybe in their childhood, their mom and dad, some authority figure was cruel. And in their tiny little hearts, they promised themselves as a child, "No one will ever hurt me like that again." Maybe at school, there was a teacher that absolutely crucified them. And there's an anger in there, the workplace. And they have that heart attitude. But it leaves scars. It leaves them with a heart attitude that can actually quench the spirit within themselves if they don't get rid of that and let God heal them. I was chatting to my father a few weeks ago about this sermon, and we were talking about this, about how certain people, and listen, it's in every church, there is a small handful who just can't take authority or leadership. And he said, "You know, Yvonne, it's never been any different." I mean, 70 years this November, we're celebrating Church of God in Ballymoney. He's 60 years in ministry. And he said it was always like that. You know, the faces change, the people change, but there's that heart attitude. I believe it comes from experiences way back somewhere in their life where they are so angry with leadership. He says, you know, Yvonne, even in my 30s, 40s, 50s, I had people, how you doing, Eddie? And how's wee Flora? And it was, as Dad says, to put him down. Don't you think you're a big man? And I get it. All right, Yvonne, how's big John from Birmingham? How's the husband, Jonathan? And they actually think they're turning a peg in my nose. I'll bring her down a peg or two. But actually, church, I know who I am. I'm Yvonne. I know that. Do you see the pastor bit? That's of God. That's not of me. And when they try to dishonor me and turn a peg in my nose, what they're actually doing is dishonoring God. And they quench the spirit in themselves. There are people who look at me, church, and they go, look at you in your wee dress and high heels. They think I live like this 7 days a week. Anybody who's rung my doorbell midweek can see that it isn't all fancy and lovely. Church, it's blood, sweat, and tears. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And the majority of people catch that and get it because they're so filled with the presence of God. They know it, they see it, and they embrace it, and they want to be part of it because they know it's not just all about the pastor. It's about teams and teams of people staying saturated in Pentecostal fire. But God sets in place what pleases him. The pastors, the elders, the deacons, the lay leaders, the lay preachers, that's all set in place. And then God blesses it as we bless him. But people who try to divide others from pastoral care, people who try to chip away at what the church is trying to do for God, and the people who carry the vision. And I'll tell you, there's scores and scores of people in this church assembly who carry that church vision, and God breathes upon their life. When others come along to try and chip away and pull others away from that kind of presence, do you know what God calls them? An abomination. And it's serious stuff. They kill and they quench the Holy Ghost and the fire within themselves, and they try to do it within others. And I'll tell you, someday God will hold them accountable. But church, when we honor each other, when we esteem and compliment, when we edify, when we comfort, we feed the flame within ourselves. Verse 15, don't repay evil for evil. Simply put, two wrongs don't make a right. Who's ever heard that saying? Probably your mother told you that. Now, two wrongs don't make a right. God says it. Don't ever repay evil for evil. Hanging on to grudges, people who have done you harm, people who have hurt you, people who have been cruel to you, for you to hang on to that and be angry, I'll tell you, it will kill the presence of God totally in your life. Romans 12, verse 21 says, overcome evil with good. That's God's way. That's God's formula. Look, I'll be honest with you. There are people that I stay away from, believers. Christians. I don't want to be around them. And I'll tell you why. Because they suck me dry. They pull the Spirit of God, the presence that I want to stay in, with their words, with their countenance, with their whole attitude. There's a critical thing. They're troublemakers. They're nasty. They're actually very deceitful. The Bible speaks about them. They come as angels of light. They look the part. They can quote you scripture. They sound the part. But when you get up close and you begin to listen and you begin to watch them and look at their behavior and what they're saying and speaking, the Apostle Paul warned against it. Alexander the coppersmith did me so wrong. Stay away from him. Everybody is not your friend, and everybody is not my friend. And if we get into close relationship with people like that, they will suck you dry and suck the very presence of God out of your life. But I'll tell you something else. On countless occasions, the very people who have really hurt me, who have been very cruel and nasty and gossiped about my husband and gossiped about Pastor John and just been nasty, cruel people, God has brought them across my path. And God has said to me, speak a word of love. They're having a hard time. Give them a word of encouragement, Yvonne. And you see, as I have encouraged them and edified them, even with a knife sticking out between my shoulder blades with their name on it, God has done something, church, in my spirit. He has fed my fire. He has built me up in my most holy faith, all because I haven't used my evil to repay them for the evil they did me, but in God I trust. And you know something, there's a word in season for some of you here today, because people have badly hurt you. They've said things against you, and I'm not saying you go into communion with them in deep friendship, because they're probably not good news. But God is saying, leave them with me. Leave them with me. I will sort that in my appointed time. But church, we have to catch this today. Because if we start repaying evil with evil, we're going to quench something within our own personal lives and within this church fellowship that is too precious to let go of. I can't afford to let that happen in my life. Is that how you feel today? I cannot afford to let that happen. And so I stay away from people, even if they call themselves Christians, who are nasty and cruel and backbiters and gossipers chipping away. I stay away from them. I let God deal with them. And I press on. I press on. Never try to get your own back with anyone. You'll destroy yourself in the process. Verse 16, this is a hard one for all of us. Rejoice always. What does that mean? It means to praise God in the good times, to praise God in the bad times. To rejoice through the valley experience when the tears are running down our faces, and to rejoice and thank Him when we're on the mountaintop experience, through thick and thin. For as we rejoice and joy in the God of our salvation, He becomes our strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we build ourselves up in our most holy faith when we choose joy in every circumstance. I'm looking across this congregation. I'm looking into faces, and you haven't had it easy in the past few months, the past 12 months. But you're still rejoicing in God. You're still joying in the God of your salvation. And that's why the presence of God is still filling your wee vessel, because you choose to do that. Verse 17 and 18. Pray continually. Be thankful. You see, when we think about praying continually, we think, well, I don't have time to be in bended knee all day long. That's not what that scripture means. It means to talk to God. It means to be in relationship with Him at the kitchen sink, in the car, in the Tesco's queue, wherever you're at, going for a walk with the dog, wherever life takes you, that you just have such a relationship with God where He walks with you and He talks with you and He tells you you are His own. Having a hard day, get the worship music on. Fill your kitchen, fill your car, saturate yourself, begin to praise and magnify Him, thank Him for His goodness, thank Him for His faithfulness, thank Him for what He's brought you through. There's many a day I go, thank you, Lord, I'm still standing. And when we get into that place, church, we feed Holy Ghost Pentecostal fire. And we will have fire and presence of God that we aren't even fit to contain. It's so overflowing in our lives. But when we start getting thankless, discontented, we start getting unhappy with everyone and everything. Ah, what are those pastors doing? Sure, what's that church doing? Is it going anywhere? Discontented with what God has given you at home, your job, your home, your family. Nothing pleases you. The grass is always greener in someone else's backyard. Let me tell you, we all still have to mow the lawn. And not the whole package is wonderful. You wouldn't want my whole package. I wouldn't want yours. What God has given to each one of us, His grace is sufficient. And that's why we have to be thankful and rejoice. But you look at people who start to get thankless and discontent, and all of a sudden they detach themselves. They're not in Tuesday night prayer meetings, not every week. I'm having a meal with a friend. I'm doing my sports thing. They detach themselves from church. All of a sudden, they're not out Sunday morning and Sunday night. Oh, I just had friends round, went for a drive in the car. Didn't used to be like that with them. And bit by bit, as they get more and more disgruntled and detached from the corporate fire that is like a bonfire that we all need to stay alive and well, they grow cold and dead within. And God is saying, do not quench my spirit. Verse 20, don't despise prophecies, the preaching and teaching of His word, what I'm doing this morning, prophetic utterances, interpretation of tongues on a Tuesday night. Don't ever scorn and ridicule that. It's blasphemous, church. Not my words, God's word. He'll hold us accountable. You know, for nearly 70 years, come this November, this church has been built on the prophetic word, hasn't it? Totally built on the prophetic word. Men and women of God, filled with the presence of God, declaring what God has placed within their heart. Even over the last decade, I've seen it as God has brought new vision. And we've held it, and some of it's come to fruition in months. Some of it has taken years. But it has come to pass at God's appointed time. Don't ever mess with sacred things. I've seen people sneer. I've seen people despise prophetic utterances, the preaching and teaching. And actually, they despise the vessel that stands to declare God's word. My dad had it. It's no different, like I say. And so they sneer and they jeer at the vessel, and they don't realize that they're sneering and jeering at stuff within that vessel that they should not be touching. Isaiah 58 in the Amplified says, God promises us, this is his promise to you and me, that he will keep us like a well-watered garden, totally saturated in the Holy Spirit, if, and that word is very important, if we don't scorn or sneer or wag the finger, at the godly. Church, it's serious. Do not quench the Spirit. Stay respectful, especially in church. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Test the Spirit. We've always done that. And finally, verse 21, hold fast. Not loosely, fast, tightly. To that which is good. And what does Scripture mean? To hold fast to that which is good. By putting into practice all that I have shared with you this morning. Love and comfort one another, church. Don't ever stop doing that. When you see someone on this side over here that you think, yeah, they could do with a wee bit of comfort, I'll go get a card, send a text, whatever way you want to be a blessing, do it. Keeps the presence of God alive in you and in them. Recognize and esteem those in leadership and those who work for God in teams. I do. It melts my heart when I think those teams that built that tent. I recognize that. I honor that. I esteem that because that's of God, those people, filled with Holy Ghost fire. Recognize it for what it is. Love them for it. Edify them. Compliment them. Don't criticize. Don't divide. It's an abomination. Don't repay evil for evil. You'll kill your own spirit dead if you do that. Stay thankful and prayerful, rejoicing always about everything in our lives, even when we don't feel like it. And we all get days like that, where we're just tired and weary and fed up, and God says, go on, be thankful, rejoice, praise my name. And when we do that, we feed the fire. And don't ever despise the prophetic word, because it's what this church for 70 years and continues to be built on. Test the Spirit. You will find that over months and years, it has been right on the button, church, every single time. And church, when we seek to do that, to hold those things tightly, hold fast to what is good and precious and worthy and noble, then we continue to feed the fire of Pentecost in ourselves and in each other. We grow in grace. We grow in the knowledge of God. And we stay together, and we pray together, and we work together, and we build the vision together. And God says, when you do that, you will never, ever quench my Spirit in you. Let's stand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and something that I have said, a line, three words, it has gone into your heart because you know you used to be on fire for God. You know that you used to be far more filled with the presence of God. You've grown cold and tired, and life has been hard, and people have sucked you dry. You've been in situations. You've had circumstances that you're maybe still in, and you are just weary. And somehow you've detached yourself from the fire, from the flame. You've stopped coming to prayer meetings. You've stopped coming to church on Sunday nights. You've stopped reading the Word of God. You've stopped putting on praise music in the car and around your home. And something has happened, but this morning you've caught it. You didn't know what was wrong with you. I'm dry. I'm empty. And God's speaking to you. You've quenched the Spirit. You've quenched the Spirit in your life. But you can get it back. All you need to do is repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need back to a good place. Help me, Jesus, find it, that I can be ever filled with your presence and your glory. And as we do at church, we will stay in a place with God where no devil in hell can move you or move me. And those things that you're waiting on for your family and your marriage and your home and your workplace and your health and your finances, as you stay in the presence of the Most High God and you stay away from people who spiritually suck you dry and situations that will leave you cold in God, come back to the fire. Come back to His presence, church. Come into that place where you're overflowing with something that you can't contain. Let it be your prayer as we leave this morning. Take this word, feast on it like I'm going to do this afternoon. Because I'll tell you, are you in unity of spirit with me today? I want more of God. Come on, let my heart be a temple of your Spirit. Let's sing it prayerfully.